like someone tries to get, I'm gonna go, peasant, I'm gonna step on you, move out of my way.
Yes.
You are a fly in my existence. And they're gonna be like,
why did we try to kidnap this tall girl?
For real. Like, if I go kidnapping, it's for
you
a cause.
A trunk.
And that's why I said too. I go, I won't fit in a trunk. I'm too wide and too tall.
Hi, I am Jasmine.
And I'm Haley.
And welcome back to Cults, Conspiracies,
and Other Creepies.
Woo, we are here again. And okay, is there anything we want to talk about?
Yes. Two things. Why I was just talking about. Okay, so shout out to Bubbles, who you know who you are.
Just shout out to Bubbles.
Okay.
Second, Bubbles, Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So second thing, sorry. Let me. Yeah. Okay. So I was talking to Jasmine. So me and my coworker, we're both kind of realized we love true crime. So shout out again to, isn't it True Crime Obsessed?
Yeah, True Crime, Obsessed.
Okay, I want to make sure I got the name correctly because I just started listening to them. So what we'll do is they'll like watch documentaries and stuff about like true crime, and then they'll talk about the certain documentaries. Well, we've been doing the same thing. Well, what we'll do is we'll listen to the podcast first, talk about that, then watch the documentary or whatever if it's available for free. Then watch that and then talk about the case overall.
Yes.
And I'm like, you are my new best friend. And I was like, me and my coworker, we are close. And then on top of it, so one of my bosses was watching DI, and I was like, so my friend's supposed to be on, like, helping with it. She's like, oh man, that's really cool. Cause one of my bosses is super
she
cool.
She likes investigation shows.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I talk about death too much. For real, I do. Because, okay, so one of my other coworkers, he was like, I don't want to die. Like, I want to die young. Because he's like, I don't want to get old. So what I'm going to do is, after a certain age, I'm going to go skydiving. And then when I hit to, like, I want to say it was like 50, he's going to go, I'm going to throw out the parachute first. Mm-hmm. And then I jump. And he goes, that's how I'm going to decide if I'm going to die or not.
Oh, my God.
Because he was like, I'm going out with a bang. For real. And I've talked to my boss, this guy, and my boss's kid about how high the body or where a perfect place is to kill somebody.
Siri used to tell you. She was like, the nearest field is here. And now she just says, ha, that's funny. She used to tell you where to hide dead bodies if you asked her, because I did ask her once. Not that I had a dead body, but I was curious.
But yeah, so just find that funny. At work, I talk about this podcast and like killing people and cults and all my life. So I went to this one shop and this girl, so they were doing construction like underneath the building. Mm-hmm. And she goes, you know, they're going to like take out like the part we all walk under. Like, where we all usually walk. And, like, I'm going to die. I hope they kill me quickly. And she goes, wait. Opposite. I want to die a slow, painful death. I'm, like, they're checking her out. She goes, oh, I'm sorry. I joked around like that. I know some people don't like it. I'm sorry. I was like, it's fine. I want to kill myself, too.
Oh, my gosh.
I make horrible jokes like this. And I was like, please don't apologize. I make the same jokes.
We all have a bad sense of humor.
If you're not a true crime, if you don't have a bad sense of humor, I have a theory now that all true crime podcasters just have that sense of, like, they're so scared that they laugh it off. I think that's what I do. I think that's what I do. I think that's what all podcasts.
Fear and laughter. I mean, yes. When people get nervous, they start laughing a lot.
That's what I do.
I do that too.
For real, it's like, I'm going to start doing that. For real, I feel like all podcasters, true crime is usually not serious. It's usually joking around, and like, because they don't know what else to do with their lives, they don't want to cry on recording, so they're just gonna laugh out.
There we go. Laughing instead of crying.
Let's get back to some laughing.
Okay, so actually this isn't very laughing matter. This is, again, another more serious one. Sorry, guys. I was in a more serious mood when I was I guess, researching. So I'm doing Big Pharma now. And if you don't know what Big Pharma is, it is a conspiracy that pharmaceutical companies and the whole medical establishment is operating against the public good. And some of the conspiracies are like really out there. And some of them are like literally the truth. Like there's not a conspiracy there. Haley has something to say.
So we were actually talking about this, me and my boss, that we talked about hiring a dead body. So there's FDA like approved. And then there's something else, FDA like, I forgot the word that she used.
Recommended?
Like, not recommended. It was like certified.
Okay.
FDA certified. So basically when you're certified or whatever, they do less of the FDA acceptance. Like, this is accepted by the FDA. Like, this is considered by the FDA because it's like a knockoff. So they don't look into as much.
Oh, that's sketchy.
So they go, like, they cut the process in half of like what they normally do.
Oh, no.
Because they're like, oh, well, this is so much like this product. It'd be the same way.
Wow, that is sketchy. See, that's what's wrong.
By the way, just laying that out there, I found that out.
That actually goes perfectly with the topic, too. But actually, I was looking into how much pharmaceutical company CEOs make, and it's between, like, the lowest I could find. Like, I found a list of them. Was like $7 million. And the highest is $38 million. One person. One person, what are you going to do with $38 million? Like, seriously, what can you even do with that type of money? Haley's mouth is wide open. I know what I should have gone into. I need to not go into business. I'm going into pharmacy because I can make a lot of bank.
You can make a lot of bank doing a lot of things.
By betraying the public and operating against their good, apparently. But yeah, 38 is like the highest, but the middle is around 18 to 20 million, you know,
yeah,
considerable amount. So they kind of control the media, if you think about it. America and New Zealand are the only two countries that allow prescription drugs to advertise.
Wow.
The only two countries in the entire world, people. We're doing something wrong. Because if you think about it, why do these drugs need to advertise on TV? You should go to your doctor and want it. Because what if you just see that and you think, oh, I'm going to ask my doctor about it.
Oh, my God. Just like, oh, my gosh. How everyone like loves this like medicine advertisement is like, talk to your doctor about getting this. Mm-hmm. And then like list of side effects is like death, depression.
Yeah, all of those. That's what I'm talking about. Most countries ban those. Most countries you go to, except for New Zealand and the U.S., because we're the U.S., those will be banned. And there's a reason, because what if you see that and, you know, you can get addicted to things. Like,
yeah.
What if you see that and you think, oh, that might help me? And I have a habit of, like, I will type in symptoms and think I have all these horrible diseases. Like, think about you're seeing this ad and it's like, do you suffer from this? Like, that can be 50 million things. It doesn't mean you need that drug. It could be something you don't even need. And then you think you need it just because of an advertisement. And most people probably ignore those, but still, it shouldn't be a thing. And also, this is interesting. Doctors will be endorsed by certain drugs. So you know how like YouTubers, podcasters will be sponsored.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be like, oh, you should go try this vitamin or this food or this awesome service that's online. Doctors will be the same way. There will be like, what's a drug? Zyrtec.
Yeah.
So they're sponsored by Zyrtec. So if I was a doctor and I gave someone Zyrtec, then I would actually get some money from that. I get like a percentage back because I'm selling it. Kind of like people on Instagram who like are selling things, you know, from companies like they're bought out.
Yeah,
it's like that. You get a percentage off like essential oils people, kind of like that. It's that whole concept, but it's with doctors and this is everywhere.
That's messed up.
It's really messed up because think about if there's something that you need and the doctor isn't sponsored by that and they recommend something else that won't be as good for you. they're profiting off of it, and that is messed up. So yeah, that's something I wanted to throw out there. It is all about making money, seriously. Also, some people speculate that there's a cure for cancer, and I'm not sure if I agree with this, because cancer is just, it's a really hard disease to control, to even come up with a cure, because it's really complex. I mean, it's about cells mutating and that kind of thing. So it's hard to have a cure for that. Right.
Okay, two things. You can find a cure for one kind of cancer, but there's not going to be a magical pill.
There's a cancer for every part of the body. Right. So
and also,
one cure isn't a cure-all. Cure
yeah, and that's why I feel like that's the thing of like, oh, there's no, we're not going to find a cure for cancers, because there's so many cancers out in the world, and there's different stages, and there's different this. Like,
they have treatments, you know, chemotherapy and all that, but it's not a cure, and people say they're hiding a cure because they are profiting off of the treatments, like chemotherapy. And actually, 27% of the public believe there is a cure for cancer and they're hiding it. But the only thing with this, if there was a cure for cancer, they would also make a lot of money off of it. So the whole money argument doesn't really add up in this conspiracy, because just as they're making money from these treatments, if there was a cure, they could make possibly even more money because it's a cure. And people will be like, oh, give me the cure, no matter how much it costs. So I don't know how much I believe that. Let's also talk about drug profits and prices. And this is mainly what I'm going to talk about because it is super messed up. And this isn't even conspiracy. This is just straight up truth. Most of this is straight up truth, except for the cancer thing. So companies will hack up their prices, and there is nothing to stop them. It is like a monopoly, seriously. So Daraprim, it was $13.50, and all of a sudden it was $750. $750. I'm not good at math, but that's a really high percent increase. Mm-hmm. And guess what this drug is used for? To treat life-threatening, dangerous infections. And if your life is threatened, you're going to be like, I don't care how much money it is. I want to live. I want my loved one to be healthy again. So they are profiting off of people's pain and suffering and their need to want their family to be healthy and to stay alive. They are profiting off of that fear. And it is mostly the vital life-threatening drugs that are expensive. Things like ibuprofen aren't that expensive because they're not a life-threatening drug.
Yeah.
But if it's something you need, like an EpiPen, for example, EpiPens are super expensive.
Oh, yeah.
Super expensive. And people always talk about this because people who are allergic, they have to buy one in case. Like, it's not a choice. Like, if they want to live, they need to have one in case of an emergency, in case they have, like, a peanut allergy and they accidentally come in contact with peanut oil or something. So EpiPens are profiting hugely. Oh, between 2012 and 2017, for example, the price of Nitrostat, hope I'm saying that right. These drug names trip me up, but it prevents and treats chest pain. It was increased by 477% from $15.91 to $91.76. And nothing about the medication changed. It was the same chemical formula, but they spiked the price up so much. And there was also just so many other drugs in recent years that have had these incredible spikes, from money in the tens to $20 up to hundreds of dollars or to over $100. Like, these huge spikes in their price, and no change to the chemicals, no change to the manufacturing, nothing. Same drug, different price. 91% of people over the age of 65 have to take at least one drug, one prescription drug. And one in four has difficulty paying for them. So in a way, you could say pharmaceutical companies are being ageist, which is a thing. Ageism is a thing. So
yes, it is.
It's a real thing. And technically, you could say they are being ageist, because lots of older people, I mean, you get older, your body breaks down, you're more likely to need more drugs. And when these drugs, you need them to live, and they're super expensive, you're going to have to pay the price, whether it's high, whether it's low. And that's why they make them high, because they know people will have to pay it. There isn't another option. New drugs are typically more expensive, like it makes sense. But now older drugs are raising their prices. So usually you think a drug has been on the market for a while, the price should be lower. But then all of a sudden they spike it up, even though nothing has changed, just because they know they can make money off of it. And people have gotten used to the drug and they know, oh, they're going to keep using it. Let's bump the price up, which is a thing they'll do. It will start out lower. And as you use the drug more, they'll spike it up. Generic drugs are actually starting to act like name brand companies, which they were supposed to compete with. So like generic brand drugs will be like the same thing, but a little bit different. And they're supposed to compete with companies by not spiking their prices up, but they are doing the same thing because they know they can get away with it. Actually, President Trump proposed budget for 2019 includes no mention of changing methods for reducing drug costs. He did not mention it at all. Although when he was rallying for president, he rallied hard against high drug prices and he said he was going to do something about it. But guess what? All of his talk about helping with high drug prices and trying to get pharmaceutical companies to go down, it all ended in March after he had a closed door meeting with big pharma CEOs. These people are in our government. These CEOs are having meetings with the president behind closed doors. They are having lobbyists in Congress so that nothing ever gets done. And they're in the government. They're controlling it. And that is why the prices are how they are, because they're profiting off of it and they're making sure the government does nothing about it. So they also, a big thing people talk about with Big Pharma is holistic medicine and how they don't promote it a lot. So they don't want the American population to be healthy because they profit off people being unhealthy. They profit off of it. In this one documentary, What the Health, it does have some issues, but they confronted like the American Heart Association, American Cancer Society, all of these government operated health organizations for promoting recipes on their website that are known to cause heart problems, that are known to cause issues. And they're promoting these recipes. And do you know why? Because they get money from Tyson. And you know what Tyson is. Tyson, yeah. Chicken. They own like half of the food industry.
Mm-hmm.
They get money from them. They get money from big dairy farms. They get money from all these industry leaders. So they promote these recipes that are harmful to the public because they're getting money from the industries. And the food industry also kind of goes along with Big Pharma because food, health, you know, hand in hand. But Tyson is a whole nother ball of sketchiness. They basically own everything food-wise. They have a monopoly almost. Actually, 83% of the food industry in the U.S. is big ag, which big agriculture. Like, they control 83% of the food industry. They have their hand in everything. So they're super industrialized. And the industrial methods they have of farming are just wrecking our environment, wrecking workers' health. And a lot of the workers they'll hire illegal immigrants. So the illegal immigrants are getting underpaid what they should be because they threaten to, you know, expose them. And they're in these horrible conditions. Like, a lot of them will die young because they're exposed to dangerous chemicals. They die of cancer. They get weird diseases because of their proximity to horrible conditions. And if these people are getting sick from working around this, and then we end up eating it, and then we buy drugs to treat our illness, which is from this huge company, and we buy these drugs that the prices keep going up and we have to buy them because there's no other choice. Like, do you know how messed up this is? And I'm getting really worked up over this because it is so messed up. And Tyson also has people lobbying in Congress. lobbyists are everywhere, guys, and they are paying off all of our senators and all of our congressmen and women. Also, health insurers, like, this is kind of back to holistic medicine. They're more likely to pay for big pharma's products like opioids, and we already talked about the big opioid epidemic last time, rather than more holistic medicine approaches. And I mean, it is fair because there are very few studies on how holistic medicine will benefit us. But also, why are there very few studies? Because they probably don't want us to know about how they will affect us. Like, if we don't study it, how are we supposed to know if it actually does help? Maybe they don't want us to study it. That's what I'm saying. Maybe it will help, but Big Pharma doesn't want us to be healthy. They don't want us to know about these other alternatives to medicine. And the whole media is, again, controlled by Big Pharma. They don't want studies done on holistic medicine. And holistic doctors have said they've actually treated medical doctors because medical doctors see the damage some of these drugs and treatments can have on the body. So just a little background on holistic medicine. It focuses a lot on the gut, and they call the gut the second brain.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
Because their gut is seriously so important to your health. And there's a lot of bacteria in there, like healthy bacteria. So inflammation and gut health can lead to problems throughout your whole body. And one little pill and drug will not fix your problem. It's more lifestyle and diet oriented. And that's what holistic medicine follows. And they follow lots of other approaches, mainly with your gut, your second brain. And they try to restrict sugar and preservatives and just more clean foods. So that's holistic medicine. I mean, it can't hurt, right? But Big Pharma's really against it because they want you to take this one pill, and they want to make you think that one pill will solve all your problems. And it all goes back to food companies too, with their genetically modified ingredients and all the sugar and preservatives they put in stuff. And it's like, it makes me think pharmaceutical companies and the food industry are in cahoots somehow. Like, one's like, oh, let's make them sick. Oh, let's make them pay for being sick. And let's go back and forth forever. Like, ugh, it's just so messed up. And I better stop because I'm going to make this super long. But
yeah,
that is what I have for you today. Big Pharma, let's get worked up about it. It is messed up. Come on. Come on, people. Come on. Give us our drugs that we need for cheap. That's all I have to say.
Give us drugs and make it cheap.
Give us drugs. Make it cheap.
Jasmine, tell me if you can take that out of context and think of actual
take
drugs.
That in context. Not out of context, but if this is ever in court, I'm screwed.
Okay, so my topic is lovely. It is actually about a cop.
Also, did you just see my mom?
No.
Oh, she walked in. But we're almost done anyway.
Okay. Oh, I hit the microphone because I was excited. Okay, so I'm talking about cannibal cop.
Ooh, a cop who's a cannibal. Interesting.
Kind got wrong, honey. Let me explain why.
Oh.
So, Gilbert. Gilberto Val the third. Yep, Gilberto. I'm getting good at names. Actually, if you think
you are getting better, like, we should go back and compare.
Yes, because someone insulted me on that, but it's fine.
Someone
okay,
insulted you on that?
Yeah, but it's my one of my other coworkers. Oh. I have a lot of coworkers, so
I'm gonna fight you.
Gilberto Val. Okay, so he was a former New York police officer, and in March 2013, he was charged with a conspiracy of kidnapping before a judge. Okay. This happened like 2012, like when this event.
Oh, really recent then.
Yeah. How this worked was he was very shady, and his wife was like, are you cheating on me? Because, like, you're on your computer a lot. Like, he would stay up until midnight. And he's, like, or even early, like, later, / earlier in the morning, you know, like, 1 a.m. or whatever. And he was, like, you know, I'm just playing video games. It's stressful being a cop, you know. Well, this smart lady put on one of those like keystroke where they like track all your keystrokes and all the websites and take screenshots.
Hey.
Well, she found out her husband was on this very horrible website and talked about killing, raping, and eating women.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine finding that out?
Yeah. Someone, like, you, like, you assume that your husband's shitting on you and you're like,
then I can something live, way worse.
Okay, so she like, by the way, this man had a child with her. So she grabbed that child. She grabbed her daughter and was like, we're out. Mm-hmm. She took it to the police. And but they found out that him and two other people, one was across like the world from us, mm-hmm. and all that. And what he did was they would like talk about all these fantasies and you know, all that. And he's like, it's just fantasies. But this is the crazy part. He used the police database talking about real women, real like details of stuff, mm-hmm. even showed them a picture of his wife and kids.
No.
Yeah. And he came up with this whole thing about like basement and like where he wanted to cook and eat this girl, like one of their like close friends. Oh, and they visit, like, he visit her and then came back and was like, yeah, this and this and this, and into great detail. And quoting from one, I love referencing other podcasters, but quoting from a podcaster, he was one family event away from meeting her.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, so this guy, there's a documentary called Thought Crimes. Okay. He never ate anyone. He never did any of these things, okay? But he was, like, thinking about it. He went into detail, like, yeah.
He was thinking about it.
He was thinking about it. So it's just crazy because in October 25th, 2012, he got arrested and was charged with conspiracy of kidnapping. Mm-hmm. It's just crazy because you would think this man, like, if you found out your husband was doing this and he's like, oh, it's just a fantasy, and had you and your child's picture and all that and going into great detail and using police database, mm-hmm. would you not think the man that was going to do it at one point?
Even if they're like, this is just a fantasy, I don't want someone in my house who has...
Yeah, yeah. A thing, too, is he's like, oh, I got this fantasy. Now. They were helping me, like put these fantasies down below about talking about... And it's like, dude, you know when you be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to take this drug because I'm like, I want to take this drug. And I know once I take it, it's going to help me not want to take it.
No!
You're going to escalate until the point you're that craving doesn't help you anymore. And you're going to escalate to harder stuff. Mm-hmm. And you're going to do it like, oh, I'm going to try this drug and it's going to help me.
It's like Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, all these people are together and they're not... They're trying not to have alcohol, and they're talking about it, and it's helping them. But if one of them went to, like, a bar, and it was around people binge drinking, it's going to be a different. They're going to be tempted.
Yes. So, yeah. So, this guy's just all, okay. So, he is in jail for, like, 6 months. But he's out.
Yeah, because then you can't hold someone for that long.
Yeah, and he gets, like, acquitted and all that. So, yeah, he's not charged with anything. And that's the crazy part about this crime is, okay, so, like, oh, my God. You should watch the documentary because it goes into detail. Because this guy just nonchalantly jokes about this. Because, okay, in the documentary, he's, like, cooking. Like, he gets out of jail and he's cooking. And he's under house arrest, okay? Like, they're not going to go that much. So he's, like, he's talking to Cameron Crew. He's, like, any of you guys scared if I hold this fork? Jokingly, I'm like, dude, this is a huge deal. Like, you got to trial because they thought you were going to eat a person and torture them and all this stuff. I was like, so yeah. So on top of that, you know how like in courts they always have that like sketch artist draw the court scenes, all that. She's like, for once I get to draw nude people in very interesting situations. And I'm like, woman, like, you're proud of it. Like, in the documentary, she was like, can you zoom up? Like, can you see this? Like, look at this. And it's like a sketch of like a poster board with like the website
that he looked up.
Yeah. So it was just crazy. And then guess what at the end of the documentary is?
What?
He makes a dating website, like dating profile on, I think, eHarmony or something like that.
Oh my God.
I forgot exactly what dating site is, but he made a profile on a dating website. He's like, I like long walks on the beach. I'm Italian, so I can cook. And you're like, yeah, no. And then the news blew up about it. And like the like website was like, shut it down, shut it down. We are not having this person on this account. Shut it down, shut it down. Wow. But then he was
Gilberto
was so just, he for real, like, he was like, I don't know why I can't see my child anymore. Like, I'm a good father, and, like, I supported them, and I didn't do anything. And you're like,
oh, my gosh. Dude, you were taking pictures of them and putting them on this creepy dark net site, you know?
Yes, and talking to people and, like, making plans. Like, he was like, okay, I'm going to have this huge oven. This is what we're going to do with her. And, like,
messed up. But he didn't actually do anything.
That's the thing is, I want to talk about this case because I watched this documentary before I watched I'm Obsessed, so I knew about the documentary before they talked about it, and then they talked about it, I re-entered. And this case is just so interesting because how do you like say like, oh, this person should go to jail, but they thought about this crime but they didn't do it, kind of thing. And the weird thing is, it was a police officer, and this guy is like a typical dude. Like,
yeah, like, that is weird to think about because it's good that you caught them before they did it, but also
you can't convict them.
You, like, can't convict them because they haven't done anything.
Yeah.
But also it's weird because it's like a whole cycle, because you can't convict them till they've done something, but you don't want them to do that thing. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And he was just joking around. Like, he was a house arrest with his mom, and like, oh my Lord, they were just joking around. And like, no, what was even more messed up is his mom had his, like, police uniform, and she was like, well, he can't read that to trial. I was like, yeah, your son, you know, having a police uniform does help the case that he wanted to torture, rape, and murder and cannibal women. Does that really help if he's in a police officer outfit?
Yeah. Really?
And he'd use the database.
Exactly.
So
that's really interesting, though.
I'm not realizing, like, I told you about it.
I remember you talking about the Thought Crimes documentary, and I never watched it. Is it on Canopy?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I love Canopy. Shout out to Canopy. If you guys don't know what Canopy is, it's like Netflix, but more documentaries and, like,
artsy films, indie films. It's more films that not a lot. You have to be
good quality stuff.
Yeah, and they have a lot of HBO documentaries.
Yes, I watched Beware the Slenderman on there.
Yes,
so good.
Have so many good documents. I'm actually going to talk about another documentary they have on there later on. It's about crime that a lot of people haven't heard of, but it's so good. And I'm going to talk about the documentary because I love it. I love this documentary. I love it. If I could, like, you got to find this person who made this documentary so they can make mine if I ever go missing or something, like, along those lines.
Yeah, because remember, we're profiting off each other's
missing
persons or murder, death.
You can be like, why you guys... If I die, I want her to have a good life, and vice versa.
Exactly. Like, same. Like, people will be like, oh, why do you make all that money off your friend's, like, death or something? Be like, we have an agreement.
Like, you can listen to this by law and say they had an agreement. Like, yeah. It's not really that.
We'll use this in court.
Like, we'll still grieve and stuff. And, like, we're going to,
we're going to be sad. But, like, say Haley goes missing. I'm going to want to find her.
Yeah. And, you know, if she has a little more money in her pocket to help find me, that's good.
There we go.
Best of all.
What's wrong with that?
For real. We're not monsters.
Let us know if, like, you make agreements like this with your friends, too. Because
remember we talked about, we go, what do normal people talk about?
Yeah, we were on the phone. This is what we talked about for almost a whole hour. Like, seriously, the whole hour we were talking about this. And we were like, what do normal people even talk about? Like, none of you are probably normal, but just, like, what do normal people talk about?
For real, like, I at least joke.
This is all we talk about.
For real, I joke at least once a day about hiding a dead body or how I can get away with murder or if I go missing and like all this stuff. Like I was okay. So if you don't know me, I am on like the plusser size of like the size chart for clothes and all that. And I am 6'1". So I go, God gave me a gift of never being kidnapped unless they really want me because they're going to have to work for that.
True. You gotta be worked for.
Yeah, for real. If you have not truly met me, I'm super tall.
You'll probably be taller than your kidnapper.
That's what I said. I go, peasant gal. I was joking with one of my other friends. I go, peasant. If I, like someone tries to get, I go, peasant, I'm gonna step on you, move out of my way.
Yes.
You are a fly in my existence. And they're gonna be like, we can't be, why did we think about, why did we even think about we kidnap her?
Why did we try to kidnap this tall girl?
For real. Like, if I go kidnapping, it's for a cause.
You won't fit in a trunk.
That's what I said, too. I go, I won't fit in a trunk. I'm too wide and too tall.
Hey, but if you're in a trunk, punch out the headlight.
I know, yeah.
Wave your hand.
Yeah, I know. I got this. But yeah, I was like, God gave me, because he knew I was going to do this stuff. God just knew it. God, since I was a child, I was into this weird stuff. God just knew. He goes, you're going to be in some weird stuff. So let me give you the little hide and little fluffiness that you need so you won't get kidnapped when you're looking up all this stuff.
Yeah, I got the nails. I can scratch them up.
You're tiny, but mighty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're going to have to work because I'll just be like squirming everywhere. I'll be like, and if you squirm, what are they going to do? I mean, you got to throw them.
Okay, hey, by the way, you fight back, you're more likely not to go with them. Like, they'll just forget about you because you're too much effort.
Yeah. But if you, like, if they say, be quiet or I'll kill you, and you actually are quiet and you do leave with them, you're more likely to die, obviously. Yeah. But if you're squirming, they're going to be like, what the heck? Or you start foaming at the mouth, they're going to be like, I don't want someone who has rabies.
By the way, too, if they're shooting at you, just run. Okay? They're probably not trained to shoot at running targets.
Yeah, run and kind of be like,
zigzag, yeah.
Kind of zigzag, you know, get behind things. Also, I thought about this the other day. I don't know why I thought about this, but, oh, we were talking about tattoos. How
yes.
It's good to have a tattoo if
yeah.
you go missing.
That's on my another file, too, because I have tattoos and piercings that you can mm-hmm. identify me as.
So I'm like, I need to get a tattoo so in case something happens, there's an, like, little identification. And my mom, anytime I talk about getting a tattoo, she's like, they look like bugs. I'm like, how do they look like bugs? She's like, anytime I see a small tattoo, I just think there's a bug. And I was thinking, what if I actually got a tattoo of a fly on my arm? Yeah. I wonder how many times I would get slapped.
You know, there's actually people, like our friend, she has a moth, like a giant moth, like mm-hmm. looking for real. It looks real.
It does. It looks good. But yeah. I'm talking like literally just like a fly, like super realistic.
I
fly
dare
on my
you.
Arm.
I will pay for that.
I wonder, I just want to know.
But you can get that always covered up by another tattoo you want. You just got to make sure, like, you're like, okay, well, if I do, I want this bigger one right here and cover it up.
I just want to know how many people in my lifetime would slap me because they thought I had a fly in my arm.
Well, I think once they, like, realize, like, no, because they're going to forget, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it'd be funny. It would just be funny. Because you just have someone slapping and you're like, haha, gotcha, that's a tattoo. And they'd be like, why the heck would you get a tattoo of a fly on your arm? And I'd be like, just so you'd slap me all the time and I could laugh at you. But yeah. This was kind of a short episode.
Well, because it's almost 8 o'clock. I'm hungry. You're probably hungry.
I'm starving.
I think
my mom left me here.
Yeah, I think she did. Because I was assuming that I'm probably going to take you home anyways.
Yeah.
By the way that everything was going. Yeah. So we gotta get food. I still live with my parents. She still lives with her parents.
Yeah.
So we gotta be home by the same time.
We are children.
We are children in our parents' minds. So bye.
Wait, follow us on Instagram, Cults, Conspiracies, Creepies, and let us know if you talk about messed up stuff and if you're normal, which if you're following us, you're probably not normal. But if you are normal, let us know what you talk about. We're very concerned at what you guys talk about. Like,
yeah.
Is it just, what do you talk about? Are you like, this tea is nice. I have a pen and it is red.
Real, I don't know what normal people talk about because it's like, oh, how's life doing? Good. How's your life doing? Good.
So is it like small talk nonstop? Yeah. Because I would hate that. I hate small talk. Seriously, just go up to me and start talking about JFK. I don't care. If you start small talking, I don't want to small talk.
you know?
Talk about something dumb. Talk about something crazy. Talk about murder. Anything but how the weather is. I don't care how the weather is. Or, like, how life is going. Anything but that. Or what's your major? That's something I hear all the time. And this is mainly with adults, too. Most kids don't small talk as much, but...
Oh, my God. I'm just going to quickly rant because this is a shorter episode. I hate people when I mention I am a psychology major. First of all, legally and ethically, I cannot become anyone's therapist that I know. I don't care if you're friends of a friend. I cannot be your therapist, so I have to be a complete stranger to give you therapy, okay? So do not try to be besties with me to get free therapy, because that's unethical.
Haley has her hand raised in the air.
Sorry, this is makes me so mad, okay? Because for real, there's so many people that ask me, they're like, oh, once you become a therapist, well, you're gonna become my therapist. I was like, sorry, no. Secondly,
Haley, can you be my therapist?
No. Ethically and legally, I cannot. Secondly, when I meet you, I'm not gonna mess with your mind. I am not gonna try and diagnose you because I'm too lazy, and 90% of other people are the same way. We do not think of psychology 24/7.
I do not look at business. I don't even think of business ever. Even when I'm in the classes, I'm like, get me out of here.
I do not say, Jasmine, you know you have this problem, this problem, this problem, I'm pretty sure. No, I don't care. I'm a sophomore in psychology. I still not that. And third of all, I will not put you in a loony house. So stop joking about, well, watch it because, you know, you're going to put me in a loony house. No, I cannot. And if I do, you're very, 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 very ill. Let me just put it that way. And that
you don't have the power to just put someone in a loony house.
I can't, like, for real. And thirdly, well, fourthly, tenthly, finally, the last thing I want to talk about. This is just a pet peeve of mine within the psychology thing. We talk too much about how we should not have sex with our clients.
Wait, like, do you actually talk about that in class all the time?
Yes, like, in ethics. Like, we talked about so much all through ethics. That's all I basically remember was, you can't be a therapist to anyone, like, a friend of a friend or, like, a friendly friend or whatever. You can't, like, know anyone. Like, if, like, someone that you knew wanted to come for me for therapy, I could not do that.
Even if you don't know them,
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Because that would be a conflict of interest and all that. But yeah. So that's a thing that I've learned so much that's been pounded in my head.
Wow.
Yes. I just remember, don't have sex with the clients.
It must be a big problem then. It's not just TV then.
I don't know. It's just been pounded in our head because I think of TV and stuff. And like, yeah. Also, we cannot talk about personal information. Oh, finally, this is actually... what I was thinking. Okay, we cannot give you any personal information of ours. So, like, if you say, hey, what would you do in this experience? Therapy is not for us to tell you what to do with your life. It's to guide you to your own answers. Mm-hmm. So I will not give you the answers to any of your life issues. I will give you advice and say, this is your options you have. And what do you think? And I will lead you down to the road that you're thinking of. I will not tell you what to do with your life or the situation. I'm not a advice giver. I am supposed to guide you. I'm a guide or not.
Haley is so sassy right now. I love it.
Sorry, just my soapbox. I was thinking about this lately and she'd bring up.
We've been in a lot of soapboxes recently. I mean, maybe we should just change the name of this podcast to Soapbox TV. Just hear two college girls rant about everything that's wrong with the world. Also, we are now running late.
Okay, well, bye. Thank you for listening to Rant.